All right, let's pray. Lord, we come before you, Lord, and thank you for your spirit, Lord. We thank you for the life that you put in us, Lord. We thank you for your word, which is truth. Lord, ask that that you would speak through me today, Lord, that your words would come out, Lord, not my own, Lord, that you would say exactly what everyone here needs to hear, Lord. Ask for your Holy Spirit to do that work, Lord, that you would pour out the gifts of teaching, Lord, that you would give us your full spirit, Lord, that we would have that wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, fear and knowledge, Lord, the spirit of you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask for your grace, Lord. And thank you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so most of you probably didn't read ahead because it wasn't on the website. But some did because they asked. So we're going to go to Psalm 91. So Seth asked me on Wednesday evening if I'd speak today, and I was like, well, I don't know. I said, if the Holy Spirit has something for me to bring, and I sat down, and the Lord gave me immediately what I was to have today. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm supposed to do that. So Psalm 91, we're going to start. We're going to read through it first. Since most of you didn't read ahead, we're going to do that now. So I have the King James. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So this psalm has a really close, it's comforting to me because when we came back to the Lord, you know, some of you guys know our story, you know the testimony, but my wife and I, we got married and we were going to serve the Lord, and then we just got caught up in the cares of the world. And for several years, didn't really serve the Lord. He brought us to Fargo to bring us back to him. And by his grace, and after an encounter I had with him in my bedroom, the Lord brought me back to him. And then he said, I will save your whole family. He promised me household salvation. And we weren't living for him at all. But this Psalm 91 has led us through trials. It's led us through time together in our marriage that was rough. Prayed this. My wife didn't know, but it was prayed Psalm 91 every day, and he said, your wife's going to hate you for a while when I came back to him, and I said, well, Lord, what else can I do? And eventually, she decided to come along, so it's been great, and just what he's done with us. But we're going to start and just go verse by verse. So in the first verse, he that dwelleth, or dwells, that is dwelling, like it's right now, it's present time, is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So the secret place, the shelter, another word for that is shelter, someone who habitually lodges in the shade of the Almighty. If we abide, then we're fixed permanently in that particular condition. The Lord's saying, he's saying, come, dwell with me. That's the title of today. The Lord says, come, dwell with me. That's his desire. So morning prayer, I don't know if you know, for those of you that were here, the Lord was saying that. Come to him. He gives us that invitation. The Hebrew for dwell means remain, to stay. We have that choice. He gives us free will. We can walk out of his shelter, but why would we want to? In John chapter 14 and verse 2, the Lord says, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places or homes. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I'm going away to prepare a place for you. You know, in the King James, it talks about these big mansions and all these things, but the Lord's saying, hey, he's got a place for you. Come and abide. He's saying, stay with me. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus goes on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So how do you dwell in that secret place? How do you dwell in the shelter of the Most High? Well, the Lord made a way. He made it through his Son, Jesus. He made that sacrifice because every one of us were born into sin. Adam sinned, so therefore we're all sinners. Every single one of us. We try to justify ourselves, but the Lord says, hey, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And Jesus made that way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. So how do we dwell with him? Well, when we receive Jesus, he made that way. Spend time with him. We abide with him. We spend that time in fellowship with him, in communion with him. Jesus says in John chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth, here we go again, abiding in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Majority of my life, I look back, and I did absolutely nothing. We did not bear any fruit for the Lord. But he's saying, hey, I am the vine, ye are the branches. If we abide in that vine, if we take that life from him, then we will bear that fruit. Turn to James chapter 4. Let's go there together. I don't want to just start further down, but the Lord said no, so we're going to start at verse 1. So from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is at enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If we're a friend of the world, it's going to be hard to dwell in the secret place, to dwell with the Lord. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So he gives us what we can do. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So all we got to do is submit. It's an act of will. We choose to submit ourselves. And when we submit, we resist the devil, and the devil flees. It says he's going to flee from you. I think one of the versions of scriptures, and I don't know if it's the Amplified, or one says as in terror, like the devil would flee as in terror. Verse 8, draw nigh to God. This is where I was going. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The Lord is inviting us to draw nigh unto him. He's made that shelter, that secret place, and it says, to dwell under his shadow. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another? So he says, draw nigh to me. I'll draw nigh to you. He gives us the way to do it. It's not complex. It's an act of our will. Those of us that have been in his presence, been close, and we've stepped away, well, all we got to do is step one step back. In Acts chapter 7, 28 and 31, it says, in him, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. Where's your secret place? Do you abide under the shadow of the Almighty? Do you daily foster an intimate relationship with your Creator, the one who created you to be with him? He made the way for you to be close to him, in communion with him, and he's saying, come, come with me. He wants us to be right there with him. He wants to show us things. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to talk with him. It's not in the morning I'm going to take my 20 minutes with the Lord and then I go on to my life. No, he's saying, dwell here. Dwell with me. He wants us to come close. He made the way for us to come close. Sin is what removes that closeness. So if we choose to sin, when we choose to listen to the voice of the enemy, when we choose to fall into the snares and the traps of the devil, that's whenever we fall away from the Lord. But the Lord makes the way out. It says he provided that way out. All we have to do is confess and come to Jesus. He made the way. We can draw nigh to God through Christ Jesus. He's saying, I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. So quickly repent. Draw back to God. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. He desires that oneness, that intimacy with his entire creation. That's what we were made for. So to dwell in the secret place, well, we have Jesus. We can. We can go through him. Those of us that are believers, hey, we've received Jesus. He's put that down payment on us, that earnest, the Holy Spirit. He's made a way that we can be right there with him. There's an inheritance for each one of us in heaven. What are we worried about all these things on the earth? We have all these things. I've got to do this. Oh, I just got to get that. I just got to get this. No. He's like, look, your inheritance is up here with me. He's gone to prepare that house. He's gone to prepare the mansion. There's many rooms in the Father's house. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That's the down payment until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So you believe and receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and he puts a down payment, that earnest, the Holy Spirit. He desires to for you to be one with him in order for you to be all that he's called you to be. Every single one of us, the Lord has a work for us to do here. He's saying, come, spend time with me, talk with me, listen to me. He speaks through his scriptures, he speaks through the word, he speaks through the still small voice that you hear. He wants you to spend that time to where you develop that oneness and that relationship where no matter where you are or what you're doing, you can hear that voice regardless of what's going on around you. We go out in the world day after day and we're inundated with all the fiery darts, all these things coming from every which direction. The Lord says, hey, just abide with me. In John chapter 3, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Pretty simple. When we choose Jesus, we die to ourselves. He puts the down payment. We're born in the Spirit. This is a spiritual place, that abiding place. He wants us to spend time in fellowship and communion with him. So even as we're on this earth and we're these vessels, we're carrying, he made the way for us to tabernacle, to have him with us. He's saying, be with me. Don't pay attention to that over there. Don't pay attention to that over there. You know, the Lord's full of all these, and for one person it might be, you know, the lust of the eyes, there's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all these things. He's saying, just come be with me. Wow, was that all verse one? Okay, let's keep rolling. All right, verse two, praise the Lord. Verse two, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He's Yahweh, the existing one. I trust in him. He's the one, the existing one, from always, from forever, from all eternity. He's my refuge, my shelter, danger from falsehood. He's our hope. We don't have to worry, guys. So many Christians I meet, brothers and sisters, that are just full of fear, and it's all lies. Fear, false evidence appearing real. As the Lord says, I look through the scriptures, he says, fear me. Doesn't say fear anything else. If we fear the Lord, if we have that obedient, reverential fear of him, he'll protect us. He's our fortress. We can trust in him. I don't know if this was somebody's acronym in one of the Sunday prayers. It just came to me, and it might have been trust, true rest under the sovereign Trinity. I think somebody brought that a few weeks ago. It's like that you can rest in that. You're under him, the sovereign Trinity. That's the Lord. We serve the one true God, the living God. Look, we have nothing to fear. Trust means to have confidence in, to be confident, secure. I'm secure in him. He's mine. Where do you seek refuge, guys? Where do you seek shelter? Where do you seek that? You know, people look in all these places. The world goes to all kinds of things. They go to therapy, and they go to get to the doctors, and they go to get medications and all these things. But the Lord, he lays it out right here. He can be our refuge. He can be our fortress. We can trust in him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Whom do you trust? I looked every other direction until the Lord came and said, hey, how's this going for you, son? And I'm on the floor, and I'm crying, and I'm bawling, and the Lord said, what are you going to do? And I was like, Lord, you know. He said, are you willing to do things my way? Lord, you know. All right, moving on, verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. I had to look up some words here. So the fowler was a person who trapped birds. Okay, so I picture, you know, Elmer Fudd with the big gun. That's not really what it is. You know, like Kablawi, and no, it's they had different traps depending on the different types. Yeah, I know. Sorry, I was throwback there a minute. But so the traps, you know, you have different ones for different types of birds. What's this talking about? The fowler? It's this hunter, the noisome pestilence. So the fowler was a person who trapped birds. Satan seeks to trap, to destroy the children of God. He seeks to destroy us. He will study each one of us, and he will see, how am I going to trap this one? Because this bird over here needs this type of trap. And I'm not calling you bird, Joseph, but, and this bird, my wife, no, I'm just kidding, Em. All right, so we all have different traps. So the devil used these things to lure, to deceive us. What's the Lord say, though? It says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. noisome. I had to look that up in the Hebrew word, hava, in the sense of eagerly coveting, rushing upon. Ruin, calamity, iniquity, mischief, naughtiness, perverse, very wickedness. And the pestilence is a sense of destroying, a plague like a pestilence. What does he say, though? He's like, well, if you dwell in me, if you dwell in the secret place, if you stay under my shadow, he's saying, he will surely deliver you from that snare, from those traps. He's given us the way out. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may devour. The Lord says, abide under me, abide under my shadow. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, because the enemy will take you and try to turn you this way, and he'll try to turn you that way. Hey, look over here. Hey, check this out. And Jesus says, hey, just keep your eyes on me. He says, that's that straight and narrow. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand. He's set down at the right hand of the Father, on the throne of God. Surely he will deliver us, right? Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And of course, I see this, cover thee with his feathers, and I just picture these little feathers. I'm like, okay, look, you know that up, and it says pinions in some of the scriptures. And the pinions were those lower feathers on the wings. If you picture like those wings coming around, so I think about the mother hen, and, you know, and the little chicks are walking around, and what does she do? She puts her wings and she draws them close, right? Says he's going to cover you. The Lord's going to cover you in his wings, his pinions. You can trust, it says, under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth, right here, shall be our shield. The shield covers a large part of your body. And I looked this up, and a buckler is a round shield. It's smaller. It could be used both defensively and offensively, and I had this whole great thing that went along with it. And then last night, one of the brothers was talking to me about it and that. And then this morning, I was like, I need to go look that up again. And I found that this is the only instance in the scriptures that the Hebrew word for buckler that they use is sochera, which actually, it's not a round, small shield, what this is talking about. It literally surrounds an entire person. So, you know, I'm picturing the little shield and the fighting this and that. No, this is the one case in the entire scriptures, at least according to Strong's, okay, that says sochera, and that's, it says something surrounding the person like a shield. So he's going to surround us. According to that, that's pretty cool. And then figuratively, it showed that it's speaking of his faithfulness. God's faithful. He's always faithful. He's like a wall surrounding us. His faithfulness. Jesus is faithful. God is that hedge about us. All right, John. Let's go to John chapter 17. Jesus praying here. And he says, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to see, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Whilst I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast, that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, the scripture might be fulfilled. Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Lord, sanctify us with your truth. What's he saying? He's saying, we're not going to be taken out of the world, but his prayer is keep them from evil. We're not of the world. We're not to live like the world. Don't go in the world. The Lord's saying, come to me. So in Ephesians chapter 6 and 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, the truth. That's what holds everything together, all the pieces of the armor. So the truth is this. It's the Bible. It's the Word. It's the Word of God. And that's what holds it all together. So we can stand on this. We can stand on the truth. We can't stand on what the lies of men and all the things the world says. We can stand on this. This is what will keep us, the Word of God. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. So I believe it was maybe a week or two ago, and Seth was talking about in the scriptures that there's about 365 times that the Bible says not to fear, to fear not. So often the Bible reminds us to fear God. We're to fear the Lord. We're to fear him, that reverential, obedient fear. But it tells us not to fear. So here we are in this world with all these things that are designed to try to get us to fear. And what does he say? Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Proverbs 14 and verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Wow, that's okay. So if I fear the Lord, that's a fountain of life, and then I can depart from the snares of death. He gives us all these ways. In Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's all we need to fear. All the fears that the enemy uses are designed to get us out of the work and out of what the Lord has for us. He does everything he can to try to cripple us, to get us to stop, and the Lord says, look, just come with me. That's all he's saying. He's just giving you that invitation. Come be with me. I will take care of all these things. So you don't need to be afraid. I had so many fears before I came back to the Lord. I mean, I had to work through that. It was just, I can't think of how long. All the things, I'd be walking to my truck and I'd just picture things like things coming out to try to kill me and all these different things. But the Lord showed me, hey, I'm with you. I'm right here with you. And he reminded me that wherever I go, he said, before we had the fire, for those of you that know, like we went through a trial with a fire. That was what the Lord used to bring my wife back to him. And we got through that, and the Lord, but the week before that, I was looking through my journal, and he gave me all these warnings and showed me all these things. It was so cool. I was looking back at it, and I was like, wow, Lord. And what did he say, though? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he told me that three times in my spirit. It was so strong, and I knew he'll never leave me. What can happen to me? What, man's going to kill me? Okay, then I'll be with Christ. What are we afraid of? To share with others? What will they think? I can't talk to them. I live in North Dakota. People don't talk to each other up here. What are you talking about? You know, down south, you're waiting in line. You're literally talking about everything. You know about their kids. You know about anything that you could imagine. You wouldn't believe. But here, it's like I'm standing in line at the store. I'm like, so quiet here. Except for when my brother Chris is in line. Then we talk to each other. And people look, why are they talking to each other? What are they doing? You know, it's like, but no, there's, we don't need to fear that. We don't need to fear man. We don't have to be afraid. Verse 6. Got on a tangent there. Praise the Lord. All right. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. In verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. The Lord will keep us. If we stay in him, we stay in his word, the word of God will keep us. He will keep us. In Malachi chapter 3, starting in verse 7, it says, even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? He gives the way. He always does. He says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. He keeps us. All these things going on around us, the Lord will keep us. We just be obedient. If we're dwelling in this secret place, we're dwelling there, we'll be able to be obedient. We stay in his word. We stay true to him. He's faithful. He's always faithful. In verse 8, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Psalm 37 and 34. It says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Oh, okay. So I'm going to see the reward of the wicked. You mean I don't have to worry about vengeance or all these things? Oh, I'm going to get that person back. Or they need to pay for what they did. Or whatever. They cut me off. They. I hope they get a ticket. Whatever it is, you know. It's like, no. Like, vengeance is the Lord's, you know. We should be warning others, hey, there's a judgment day that's coming, rapidly approaching, and every single one of us is going to have to stand before the throne and give an account for what we did, how we lived our life. So we should be warning these people. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son, over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Please, please, it says, harden not your hearts. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Oh, but he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Okay, those traps, you think the birds, no, there's a trap right there. You know, I'm going to just walk right around it. No, it's deceitful. The devil is deceitful, and he will use anything he can to get you to sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Oh, so I have to hold the beginning of that confidence. Okay, so it's not like it's just there. He's saying, hold on to that. Don't let go. Don't harden your hearts. So many things are designed to get us to harden our hearts. What good are we with a hard heart? While it is said, today if we will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Yeah, I got to keep going. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. How do we enter in? It's got to believe. It's an act of will. So, behold the reward of the wicked. Don't harden your hearts. We'll see what that reward is. I don't want to see it, really. But we'll see that. We hold on to him. Verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Habitation. What's a habitation? It's that dwelling place. So he's saying, okay, because you've done this, the Lord, which is my refuge, our refuge, that shelter, that when you seek a refuge, it's like you're seeking safety. You think about that, and he's the one that gives us safety. We're not going to find safety in anything else. Even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. You mean I don't have to worry about that? Wow, so if I make the Lord my refuge, and he's my habitation, I don't have to fear all these things, you know, like when they're saying, oh, we got all these plagues and all these sicknesses and all this and all that. Yeah, no, I don't have to worry about it. He's given these promises. And in verse 11, it says he'll give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Ministering spirits the Lord has. In verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. So in Matthew 4:6, you know, Satan even used these verses to try to tempt Jesus. It says, then the devil take him up into the holy city. He sets him way up on the top, the pinnacle of the temple. He says unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. What did Jesus say? Well, he said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord my God. So yeah, we have these promises, but he's saying don't tempt the Lord. You know, you don't go out and, oh, it says that I'll tread on serpents, so I'm going to walk on all these snakes. You know, you hear about those things, and, oh, I'm going to, you know, practice drinking some strychnine poison just to make sure I can. No, you don't tempt the Lord. Now, can that happen? Oh, yeah. Like, if we don't know, and maybe we can. You know, you think about when, you know, throughout the scriptures, there's times where, you know, who was it? Was that when they were, what the island they were on? With the snake, and it bit his arm. He shook it off in the fire, and all these natives are looking, and they're like, he's going to die. Like, this guy's a sinner. And then what? No, he didn't, because the Lord had that work to do. It's not saying that he can't do that. But he's saying, don't tempt the Lord thy God. In verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. Oh, now it's the Lord speaking. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt and unto all this land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, under their horses and their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day, what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all their substance, and was in their possession in the midst of Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did." It says, "Therefore, you shall keep all his commandments, which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land, whither go thou to possess it." In the Lord's wrath, let's go to verse 18. "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you." So we follow his commandments and we love him, and it says, "I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name." Lord, this is a promise. He's going to do it. In Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 36, it says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." We love the Lord. If we love the Lord, he will deliver us. If we love the Lord, we'll be able to do the work that the Lord's called us to do. If we love the Lord, we'll be able to do that without grumbling and complaining. If we love the Lord, we'll be able to say what needs to be said when it needs to be said, regardless of who the Lord says who to say that to. He's saying, "Come be with me." How do you get to know someone? Think about, you know, when you're young and courting, and I just want to spend time with that person. How many nights did I fall asleep on the phone with my wife? Late nights, you know, and still had to get up and go to school the next day. And just the things we do, it's like, well, so why would I not want to get up in the middle of the night with my Lord and spend that time with him, to spend that quiet time? He wakes you up, just get up. Crucify the flesh. We can do it. He's given us a way to do it. We just have to overcome. He wakes you up at 3 a.m. Hey, that's the time. That's to watch and pray. He's saying, pray with me. Spend time with me. It's an invitation. He'll never make you do it. Sometimes I feel like it because my cat keeps jumping on me and hitting them. But I've asked him to do that, so that was my own prayer. So that's on me. Lord, get me up. Help me get out of bed. Whatever it takes, you know. And the cat, she's hitting the lamp, and I'm like, oh, look, you know. But it's like, just get out of bed, you know. It's okay, all right. Kitty loves the Psalms, by the way. So as long as I'm with the Psalms, you know. Of course, Joseph's, we won't even give her that. Okay. He says it's like solid soothing to her, okay, because he thinks cats are the devil, but we'll forgive him for that because he's my brother. So, all right, and we're back. Okay. He shall call, this is verse 15, sorry, we're back at verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Hey, that's cool. That's a promise. He says, I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I added this in this morning and I don't remember why. So Hebrews 12, let's go there. Holy Spirit, help us right now. Hebrews 12, 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Maybe we should go back to verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Well, that's cool. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness, can't talk, unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. He loves us that much. He makes the way to deliver us, whatever it takes. Verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. His salvation. It's in him. He made the way. Matthew chapter 7. Got it on here. Verses 7 to 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good things to them who ask him? He gives us good things. Surely he will show us his salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm pretty sure whosoever means anyone. Even that person that you cannot stand, that the Lord said, go talk to them. He's saying, whoever this is for, you need to do that. Just do it. You have missed miracles in your life and witnessing miracles because of disobedience. The Lord's saying, stand up and do it. He's saying, you're with me. Abide with me. I'm with you. I've given you exactly what you need to do. He says, being filled, be full of my spirit. What are you afraid of? He desires for that closer relationship, that oneness. He desires for us to walk with him, to talk with him, to go in the places where no one else wants to go, to say what no one else wants to say, to do what no one else wants to do. And he's given us exactly what we need to do that. He's equipped us. And what does he say? If you thirst, come to me. Drink. I'll give you that living water. The living water is in him. He's made so many promises. We, our own will and all the things we get sidetracked with take us out of that. But he's saying, just come be with me. I've given you the way to do that. Romans 5, verse 15. but not as the offense, so also as the free gift. Oh, it's a free gift. For if through the offense of one may be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. God's riches at Christ's expense abounded unto many. Romans 6:23, memory verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's a gift, eternal life. Wow, he's given me that gift. I ought to give my life to him, right? Bind the sacrifice with cords, right? Laying down that life. What are you holding on to that's so important that you won't go and serve the Lord? What are you holding on to? He says, hold on to me. He's putting out his feathers, his wings. He just wants to gather you in, and the little baby chicks are just going here and here and here. Oh, look at this. Oh, just no, he's saying, come be with me. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Sure, we'll be there probably next week. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. We didn't do it. There's nothing we did to earn it. I certainly did not live my life to earn any bit of the grace or the eternal life that the Lord's given me. But hey, by his grace, because he created us, he loves us, we're his creation, he makes that way to draw us near. And 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. You didn't know you're going to get such a Bible study today, huh? All these verses. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Praise you, Lord. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So God provided the sacrifice. He provided that. Without the blood, there's no forgiveness. There's no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are copies of what's true, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place year after year, right? So with the blood of another. But he then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he's appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this is the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin and salvation. So we can eagerly await him. We can know that we're in him. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's saying, come dwell with me. Eagerly wait for that appearance. If you haven't, hey, it's really, all you got to do is just make that will. Hey, I'm going to give it to you today, Lord. I've messed up. I'm a sinner. I've completely made a mess of things. And the Lord will be right there with open arms. He'll say, come in. If that's you, if you need prayer today, come see me, come see my wife, we'll pray with you. It's one step, guys. It's a one-step program. You go to him, and he's saying, I want to cover you. I want to shelter you. I will do this for you. I will protect you from the evil one. So what a great time to continue with that. That was the end of that, but we're going to continue with communion. So, okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat this, my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And the Lord wants to say, examine yourself. Take a moment in between you and the Lord and says, examine himself and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Just take a moment in prayer and just examine. And if there's any unforgiveness in your heart, the Lord's saying, just release that. Just forgive. And know what he's done for you, that he gave all. All our sins are cleansed and washed away. We received them and they're cleansed. They're gone, expunged, washed, wiped out, blotted out from the record. Why would we hold sin against one of our brothers? Why would we hold sin against something someone had done to us? The Lord's just saying, it's an act of will. And if you feel like I can't do that, Lord, just say, Lord, change my will. He'll do it. Lord, make my will to be to do thy will. So just take a minute, examine that, pray, and then we'll receive the bread together. Lord, thank you for your body that you gave, Lord, for all, Lord, and that all means all. Lord, thank you that you brought us in, Lord, that you grafted us in, Lord, that you given us that promise of eternal life in you, Jesus, Lord. And we do this in remembrance of you. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your body. Let's take the bread together. Lord, thank you that you shed that blood for us, that you were that perfect sacrifice, Lord. And we do this, Lord, knowing that you're coming soon, Lord. We look forward to that day, Lord. We cry out, Maranatha, Lord. We thank you for your blood that was shed for all mankind, Lord. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for your word that you brought, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would write your word in our hearts, Lord, just write on the tablets of our hearts, Lord, that we would abide in you, that we would be with you, Lord, regardless of where we are, what we're going through, to know all those promises that you made, Lord, and all your promises are in Jesus, our yes and amen, Lord. And we know that you're coming soon, Lord. May we be about your business, Lord. And Lord, knowing that you've covered us, Lord, that you are our shelter, you're our defense, you're our strong tower, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.